And Governor Bill Weld joins us now. Good morning.
Hey, Rick. Good to be with you.
Thanks for taking the time. I first want to get your reaction to the news of the day here, of course, what's happened over the weekend. The full report obviously has not been made public yet. But based on what's out now, there appears to be no finding of collusion against the president and his campaign and no conclusion on whether the president committed obstruction of justice. Does that take the wind out of the sails of any presidential campaigning?
No, quite the contrary. I think it's a relief to the country to find that the man who was elected president didn't conspire with a hostile power to procure his own election. I'm glad that result was reached for the sake of the country. So it's neither here nor there from my point of view in considering whether to pull the trigger and go ahead with a full-blown run against Mr. Trump.
Are you waiting for more results, though, from this? I mean, obviously, we've just got a four-page summary at this point.
No, I wouldn't say I'm waiting, but I certainly agree with the 420-0 vote in the House of Representatives that the full report should be made public, that the public has a right to know what was the details of those 100 contacts between the Trump campaign and the Russians, and what was the result of the 3,500 subpoenas and interviews.
So there's more to be seen here. But I'm wondering from a political standpoint, of course, there's a lot of consternation about President Trump. You've made no bones about the fact that you aren't going to run a campaign against him. I'm wondering how this informs your campaign, if at all.
No, not really. I mean, I worked very closely with Bob Mueller in the Justice Department, and he's very thorough, and he appears to have done a thorough job. He did the job he was tasked with doing. So, I think a good job was done by the Justice Department, and we can all take comfort in that.
The speech you gave here in New Hampshire when you announced your exploratory committee was a lot about what you don't like about President Trump. Aside from casting yourself as a Trump alternative, what specific policy issues are you offering voters?
Well, I would be an economic conservative in Washington, by which I mean I would cut spending and cut taxes. And, I did approve of the tax cut that went through under President Trump. And I would have voted for, if I was in the Senate, for both of his nominees to the Supreme Court. But it kind of ends there. I don't think he's doing a good job domestically in terms of keeping the budget under control. I don't think he's doing a good job internationally, but he seems to go out of his way to insult our allies. You know, the newly elected Prime Minister of Canada, he called him weak and stupid. You just don't do that sort of thing. I think pulling us out of the Paris climate accords was a bad idea. I think the failure to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a group of 12 countries facing the Pacific that did not include China, I think that was a great mistake. During the campaign in 2016, the president appeared not to know that China would not be a member of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So, you know, at home and abroad, I don't think the right policies are being pursued.
Obviously, that, for his base, that was a lot of positives there. There are certainly lots of Trump voters who may be turned off by that tone over the past 2 years, but they still like his agenda. Can you give an example of one Trump administration policy where you have really strong disagreement and one Trump policy where you'd want to carry on?
Well, I think what the president said the other day about political correctness running amok on college campuses, I associate myself with that view. I think it's very troubling that the president seeks actively to divide the American people as opposed to unite them and pit group against group. He's obviously made a calculation that suits his political advantage, but I think it's really unbecoming in a president of the United States, to put it mildly.
New Hampshire has a workforce shortage and an aging population, and one way to add workers, of course, and young people is through immigration. What are your thoughts on immigration?
Well, I think particularly in the western part of the United States, we absolutely need immigration in order to be able to conduct the agricultural business of the country and the construction industry in the western states. I don't have any fear about immigration. I think that we need more work visas. Right now, our graduate schools, which are the best in the world, are training people. And then as soon as they graduate from our graduate schools, we send them back to China. So we're educating our competition. There's nothing threatening about a work visa for someone who's from another country. And the president, in his bones, seems not to understand that. If someone's from another country, he instinctively shrinks from them, almost has a revulsion. I'm sorry, we live in a world, and we've been a melting pot since the time our country was founded. And anyone who doesn't like that, they're just spitting into the wind. So that's a policy that the president's anti-immigration policy, I strongly disagree with. I think he's, created a straw man, a boogeyman that, oh my goodness, these 11 million people who overstayed their visas, they all want to be citizens, and they're going to, eat your food and take your jobs. They don't all want to be citizens. Canada, for example, has a guest worker program, and many, many people come and work for 4 months in Canada, the growing season, for example, and then they go back south of the border to be with their families, which is what they want. So I think the president demonizes virtually anybody from another country, and it has suited his political calculus, according to him. But it's not befitting a president of the United States.
But how do you make that argument to his hardcore supporters?
Well, anyone who says we hate everybody from another country, I'm not going to agree. They're not going to agree with me, and I'm not going to agree with them. It's a big world. I think we should be, welcoming and be a responsible member of the Commonwealth of Nations.
You promised in 2016 that you'd be a libertarian forever. You have supported Democrats in the past. Why should Republicans here in New Hampshire believe you represent them?
Well, they can listen to my message of economic conservatism, of free trade, engagement abroad, and make their own judgment. I think a problem we have in Washington today is that the two parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, they really demonize each other, and they exist only for the purpose of killing the other party and stirring up their base so their base will make political campaign contributions to them so they can get reelected. And they're obsessed with getting reelected, and that's not my style.
You've said when incumbents have a primary challenger, they lose in the general election. In this case, if you were to run against Trump and a Democrat won the general election, is that acceptable to you?
Well, I wouldn't be running in the general election. I'm running only in the primary, so I wouldn't be taking any votes from Mr. Trump in the general election if he were to win the primary. That's a short answer.
I see what you mean. What I'm saying is, let me skip that. Let me move on. Do you think Republican voters here in New Hampshire might be more receptive to your message than voters in another part of the country?
Well, I think they might be. I mean, I'm a real New Englander. I was born in New York, but I grew up in New England. I'm a real outdoorsman. To the extent that I am on the freedom side of the Republican Party, that's consistent with New Hampshire's motto of live free or die. I feel at home here. And so I think people can see that I'm a, frankly, New Hampshire kind of guy.
Are you a Yankee Republican? I don't know if that term still means anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I consider myself certainly a New England Republican.
Mm-hmm. Has the Republican Party in New England changed in the last, say, 20, 25 years, in the last generation?
Well, a lot of the Republicans who I grew up with are no longer there. But I still think that New England is a bastion of proper thinking.
What do you mean by that?
Well, just being reasonable. We don't get into great fights and divisiveness. We go about our own business, and we're welcoming of other people. We hate everybody else. I don't associate that with New Englanders at all.
Governor Bilbao, thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure. Thanks, Rick.